man with us now, Dominic Carter.
Let's see you acknowledge a man whose words make your blood boil, who's standing center stage and advocating at the top of his lungs that which you would spend a lifetime opposing at the top of yours.
Dominic, I want to say, when we started calling around in New York City last week to find out who would have their finger on this story, you were the person who was most often mentioned, and that's why we asked you to be with us this morning. So what do you hear? What do you know? How is this thing going to come out?
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And good morning, Dominic Carter, Talk Radio 77 WABC. The race for New York City mayor. Let's go.
These are the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on 77 WABC.
The candidates debated tonight, a heated debate, now just one day before the start of early voting with the Democratic primary. The primary, of course, June 22nd. In light of recent allegations as to where Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams lives, the anchor and moderator of the debate, Maurice Dubois of WCBS Television, asked each candidate, does Eric Adams live in New York City? While no evidence has surfaced showing Adams actually lived with his girlfriend in their co-op in Fort Lee, New Jersey, several opponents in the race tonight sought to raise the possibility that he did while questioning Adams' honesty. Andrew Yang said, and I'm quoting here, it's troubling because Eric has not only been not straightforward, but he's been hypocritical. The businessman Yang went on to say, and Yang, by the way, who's been sliding in the polls, he went on to say, he, meaning Eric Adams, spent months attacking me for not being a New Yorker. Meanwhile, he was attacking me from New Jersey. Joining us now is Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College. And thank you very much for joining us, Professor.
My pleasure, Dominic. It's a long time.
Yes, it has been a long time since we've talked, but you are one of the best at what you do. So let's talk the race for mayor. We are now about, what, give or take a week and a half from the Democratic and Republican primaries. How is the race looking on the Democratic side?
Wait a minute. Let me get my crystal ball and a coin and flip it in the air. I mean, you can't know. I mean, Dominic, how can you know? All the polls have the leading candidate, which varies according to the polls, with 23% of the vote. So, I mean, and 16% of the vote are undecided, which seems rather low. Some other polls had it earlier at 26%. And how do you figure? I mean, I'm a political junkie. This is my life. And I can't figure this one out. I mean, I could figure some out and I'm wrong, like Trump in 16. But this one is, and with ranked choice voting, it becomes even crazier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are chatting with Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College. So a New York One poll came out the other night, and it shows Adams with a 6-point lead. Do you buy that?
I don't know if I buy it. If I say it's a snapshot on time, over time, a 4.1 error margin, so then that reduces it possibly to 2. I mean, there seems to be some movement on Adams's part. And likewise, there's upward movement by Garcia. It's almost palpably real. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can know because it depends on turnout, number one. Who turns out his or her own voters. And number two, you have to understand the motivations of the various people. I mean, are they voting sincerely? In other words, voting their true preferences? Are they voting strategically, meaning that they're trying to figure out how to get rid of their worst enemy and elect their own number one? So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And then the vote counters, I mean, Dominic, it's going to be crazy election night because you get the results from the in-person balloting. You don't have the absentees. You don't have the early voters. You know, you're missing big chunks of vote. And the first round, the leader could have 23 points, 24 points, even 30. That means that they've got to make up 20 points plus one to, you know, be the mayor. I mean, it's crazy. I gave up.
Let's just assess the candidates. Let's go one at a time here.
Go ahead.
Do you assess Eric Adams, the race that he's running?
You know what? I can't get my hands around Adams, and I know his history. He's a good borough president. He's a smart guy. He's articulate, but every once in a while he gets into these, you know, verbal quagmires. And he did well in the debate. He's a borough president. He knows the city government. Former cop, public safety being a very salient issue, and increasingly so. So, he's got to be considered one of the three or four who are within error margins.
Okay, now how about Andrew Yang?
Well, I might sound biased here, but my take on Yang is he got in early with big name recognition. He had a large social media cohort. He came in with the prospect of raising money, big money, and he was fresh. He was personable. I mean, out of all the candidates, he's the only one who has any personality. The rest of them, you know, really don't. Not that we need, you know, a personality like Ed Koch or Rudy Giuliani, but, you know, some people are looking for a little bit of spark.
Professor Doug Muzio, what about the charge, the allegations against Mr. Yang that he doesn't know much about New York City, about the way government runs?
I've made that charge, and I can go through the indictment. I mean, the guy never voted in an election in New York for local, state, and national. I mean, he hasn't voted, and particularly relevant that he's, you know, looking for a job that he really doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the nuances of bureaucracy and the written and the unwritten rules. And he's sort of he fancies himself a global thinker. He's, you know, outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I mean, I think for all his personality and articulateness and in a sense, you know, not charisma, but something in the neighborhood, he doesn't know New York. I mean, almost, it would be almost ludicrous to say that a person who has lived here about how long, 25 years,
mm-hmm.
Is not really a New Yorker. He's sort of a cosmopolitan man. He could do it in L.A. or elsewhere, but, you know, it's the media capital of the United States and perhaps the world, and he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to be part of that scene.
The conversation is with Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College, and we are talking the race for New York City mayor. Okay, Professor, we're going down the line here. Catherine Garcia, the former sanitation commissioner.
If you want the city to be well-managed, well-run, understand the nuances of the technology, the workforce, and all that, I mean, that's Garcia's narrative. She understands city government. Now, you know, the debate performances have been sort of flat. She's not an exciting person. And oftentimes in the debate, she could have delivered sharper answers. But I believe that based on what I understand of her resume, that she is a highly capable administrator. And, you know, one of the mayor's chief responsibility is as, you know, chief administrator. But at the same time, you've got to be more than an administrator or a manager. You've got to be a leader, and a leader requires some element of inspiration, aspirational. It's the difference between managers and leaders. Don't start me. I'm in my lecture mode.
we got it, Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College. We are talking the race for mayor. It is time for a break. You're listening to Dominic Carter here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. We're going to take a break, and I will be back in just a moment. Dominic Carter here on Talk Radio 77 WABC, the race for New York City mayor. We are chatting with Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College. So, Professor, in segment one, we basically got through the top tier of candidates, but we left out one. We left out one, and that is City Controller Scott Stringer. He's faced a second allegation. I emphasize allegation of sexual misconduct, sexual harassment. Is his campaign done? Is he in a free fall? How do you see things for Mr. Stringer?
In a sense, it's unfortunate that what you describe is probably pretty accurate. I don't know if free fall is total picture, but there's a deflation. There seems to be a deflation in his numbers. And having worked in campaigns, news like that, you know, sort of you're behind by more than you thought, and you're not appealing to certain key groups as strongly as you would like. I mean, that creates, you know, it's wear and tear on the internal organization of the campaign and the candidate. It affects them psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in that kind of a situation, it affects you adversely.
Let's now talk about Maya Wiley. I thought that she had absolutely no chance of winning the primary, but as we both know, voters in primaries tend, the folks that come out are the folks that tend to be to the left. And all of a sudden, she's endorsed by AOC, and she seems to have momentum. Is that a fair assessment? Can we write her off? Or she might be the one up and coming.
No, you can't write her off. Even if she isn't the first choice of voters, if she's enough of a second choice of voters. Now, you presume that her base of support is, you know, AOC-type progressive Democrats. And you're right that partisans tend to dominate in the primaries. So, but I it's tough to see. It's not impossible for her to, given the fluidity of the race, get a charge and maybe in the polling come in second or third, and you know, or second and approaching first, then the whole dynamic begins to change. I mean, it's not momentum, but there's a contagious, you know, enthusiasm.
Interesting. So now let's continue going down the line. Former number two at Citibank, Ray McGuire, spent a lot of money, just like Sean Donovan. But let's talk first about Ray McGuire.
I think that, you know, you're putting them together makes some sense. McGuire, I mean, he came on the scene with the Spike Lee video, which was, I mean, I'm a Spike Lee fan, but It was really, really good. And McGuire has, I mean, from what I understand, the little that I understand, he is a liberal Democrat, but he's got ties to corporations, and corporations have, I think, deservedly a bad name these days. So, I mean, and he's not personally exciting. He's not a rhetorical leader. He's, you know, he is a smart, articulate guy. Again, how much does he know of the non-financial aspects of New York City government? I don't know. But he's not catching on.
Okay.
And the campaign seems to be... But he did okay in the debate.
Okay. And finally, Diane Morales, her campaign doesn't seem to be catching fire at all.
No. In fact, it is catching fire, and it's burning itself down. I mean, you know, a little self-arson. Arson. I don't know quite. But again, you know, if you listen to her ideas and her statements, I mean, they should resonate with a significant number of people. Now, it could be the same people who AOC's, and I would presume her vote would.
So
Diane Morales's vote follow into Maya Wiley?
Right. One would think so on the surface. We are chatting with Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College, and I close this way, Professor, coming full circle here, and we thank you for joining us this morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. The final week of the primaries, the final week, what do you expect to see here?
Chaos. Competing polls giving you different results. Analysts scratching their heads, pollsters scratching their heads, Board of Elections, you know, usually out of their heads. I mean, it's just crazy, particularly with the new voting system. Not that it's not better than the old way, but boy, in the most important city election in a long time, they're not my favorite group of candidates.
Okay. All right. So what about the Republican side? Who do you think may win the primary?
Forget about it.
Who may win the primary? And does the Republican in this year's race have the possibility of upsetting the Democrat and becoming mayor? Republican candidates Fernando Mateo, Curtis Sliwa.
No. Absolutely not. I'll eat my shoe if that happens. I mean, did you see the debate? It was a total clown show. There was really no substance. Lots of heat and extremely little light. I mean, this is not, you know, the Republican Party of the 1990s with Rudy and, you know, a large contingent in the city council of seven members. But, you know, and then the Democrats, I don't know. You know, when people say there's got to be something better.
Well, Professor Doug Muzio of Baruch College, we will find out if and how this is all going to play out in just a couple of days, as the primaries, the vote will be held on June 22nd. It's going to be very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Professor Doug Musial.
Oh, thank you, Dominic. I had a ball.